How's everybody feeling today? Happy New Year to everyone. Those of you here and those of you on Zoom. Take note, you know, see what my brother just did for me? Amen. We're going to talk about that a little bit as we get into the message. Please turn with me in your Bibles to a very, very familiar verse. We like to quote it a lot, but we're going to start off in Acts chapter 11. And we're going to be reading verses 25 and 26. Acts chapter 11, verses 25 to 26. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Let us pray. Our blessed Lord and Heavenly Father, we humbly come and we ask that you would open your word to us. Let your words be to each and every one of us instruction, guidance, motivation, that we would be your people in this world as you would have us. We ask your blessing upon this meeting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if I had to title this message, it's called Let Us Be Called Christians. Now, I don't know how many of you recall, but I did a little sermonette on this probably about 6 weeks ago on one of the Tuesday night meetings. And we talked about being Christians. And that got me started kind of talking and studying a little bit about Antioch. And it really was a blessing to me, because before I was anything in the Board of Education, I was a history teacher, history and geography. So the study of Antioch kind of brought me back. But I want to give you a little history about Antioch, because it's an interesting Antioch. In the time that this was written about, was the third largest city in the Roman Empire. There were only two cities larger than Antioch. One was Rome, which was the capital of the Roman Empire, and the other one was Alexandria, which was the eastern capital of the Roman Empire. Antioch was the next. Antioch was a very, very large trade-based city. People traveled in and out of Antioch all the time. It is named after Antiochus. There is not just one Antiochus. Antiochus was the title or name of the Roman ruler of that region. As a matter of fact, there were two cities named after the Antiochus person, or the leader of the Roman Empire. He was assigned by the Roman Empire to rule that area. The other one, the one that we're talking about, is Antioch of Syria. There's also an Antioch of Pisidia. They're less mentioned in the scripture, but they're there, and I don't want you to get them confused. Antioch of Pisidia was the place where Paul went to the Greeks and Romans there, preached the gospel, and the Jews got so jealous of the attention that Paul was getting that they ran him out of town. And the Bible says that Paul shook off the dust of Antioch of Pisidia. And I don't know if he ever came back. But we want to talk about Antioch of Syria. And what I found in my studies, as I studied, is that, yes, it was the place where the disciples were first called Christians. But when we look at Antioch, we find that Antioch is involved in many, many firsts in the scripture. And I want to use some of those firsts to kind of guide us in some of the things that we should be doing. Now, this did not start out as a New Year's resolution message. I was studying, but it turns out that what I'm going to be doing this morning is urging you as you move on from here, New Year notwithstanding, from here, from this day, that we consider some of the things that I'm going to talk about in terms of what we do. So let's take a look at it. Turn to Acts chapter 6. Now, in Acts chapter 6, and again, very familiar passage, the church in Israel, in Jerusalem, were having, they were growing, they were prospering. As a matter of fact, it says they found favor with among the people. But there was a problem in the church in that some of the Hellenistic, which were people who were either Greek and had converted to Judaism, or were Jews from Greek, that they felt that their members, particularly their widows, weren't being taken care of. So they went to the disciples and they filed a complaint. And the disciples said, well, you know, we're not going to say that it's not true or not, but this is something that we as spiritual leaders, we don't want to get caught up in. We want to concentrate on leading spiritually. So we're asking you to pick some men from among yourselves that can handle the situation, monitor the situation, make sure people are being treated fairly, and we'll appoint them. So in let's start from verse 3. Therefore, brethren, look ye among yourselves seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. So we find that here's another first. These are the first deacons being appointed in the church. And I don't know why they mention seven names and then at the last they put somebody from Antioch. They don't tell us where the other guys came from, but they mention Nicholas of Antioch. But these are the first deacons. And the first thing that I want to take from that is service. Mother Victor Bonet is an elder in this church. He is a renowned speaker of the word. He's one of the brothers that we rely on in our eldership as a leader, as one who has good wisdom, He has been in this church since 1955. Excellent brother. But this brother thought nothing of serving me. He sprayed the desk down. He wiped it off. He literally was my maid or my butler for the last 5 minutes. God bless you, brother, because that's the spirit that I'm talking about those seven men and Nicholas from Antioch. A spirit of servants. You know, Paul, the writer of many of the epistles, James, many of them in their writings referred to themselves as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, positionally in Scripture, we are sons of the Most High God. To them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Because of what Christ has done, we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Positionally, we are children of the King. But I have to tell you, vocationally, we are servants of the King. Vocationally, which is what we should be about in our actions, we are servants of the King. The elders are described in several passages as servants of the congregation. So then the question comes up, what are we, I, you, working at for the Lord Jesus Christ? What are we working at? The Lord said, the harvest is many, but the laborers are few. That's in the scripture. Now, if there's not enough workers for the labor that has to be done, what makes you think that you have nothing to do? The Lord has a job for his people to do in this world. And he tells us that there is a work to be done and that those who can do the work or should be doing the work are few. So then why would you consider that the Lord has nothing for you to do? There is a job in the kingdom of God that you should be working at while here on earth. I will never presume to tell you what that job is, because I don't know what your gifts and what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do, but you should never be idle for the Lord. We should be working. Are you using your gifts for the Lord? Do you know what your gifts are? Study the word that you might prove yourself a workman. At what task? You need to know what your gifts are. God gave you those gifts so you could work for him. Identify them and use them. Are you being useful to your local church, to this assembly? You have to answer that one. I'm not going to deal with that. Okay, next first. If we go back to Romans chapter 11, and you go ahead, or you go back to those verses that are going on, what we find going on is that the Holy Spirit is starting to churn up some unity motivation. Up until this time, the gospel had been preached primarily to the Jews. And we know that scripture very familiar, where Peter is visited by the Holy Spirit, and the food came down, and the angel said, eat, and Peter said, no, I don't eat that kind of stuff. Unclean things don't come to me. And the Lord said to him three times, don't call what I am giving you unclean. If it's from me, it's not unclean. And it's a representation of the need to go out and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. So what we find is that Peter got an opportunity to go to Cornelius' house, who was a Gentile, preach the gospel, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. And when Peter returned to Jerusalem, the other Jews contended with him. They kind of said, why are you bringing the gospel to these Gentiles? And Peter told them the story of his experience with the Holy Spirit and the vision, and Cornelius' men coming to meet him. And he went and he told them what went on. And they praised the Lord. But then what happened is, right after that, other people started preaching to the Gentiles, particularly the Gentiles in Antioch. And what the church of Jerusalem did at that time, they said, we see that God is spreading the gospel regardless of who you are. And they sent Barnabas to Antioch. Barnabas was the first sent missionary. Now, they were preaching and they were going on, because you remember after Jesus Christ ascended the church, and then people were going forth, and then after Stephen was killed, persecution started and people started spreading out. But Barnabas, Antioch again, was the first missionary that was sent. He was sent to Antioch. And by the church sending Barnabas to Antioch, the church is now recognizing that the gospel is useful and worthy of the Gentiles, of everybody. That's a good thing. Good thing for us, because everybody sitting in here is a Gentile. Okay, so we talked about that. Our brother Bonet, don't mean to pick on your arch, but you know, sometimes you're in the way. Brother Bonet did an excellent job of explaining to us when we studied Ephesians, that the mystery, one of the mysteries of the gospel, is that the Holy Spirit saw fit to bring Jews and Gentiles together under one Spirit into the church of God. That's us. I want to read to you something. Ephesians chapter 2. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful scripture. Ephesians chapter 2, starting from verse 12. That at one time ye, or we, were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise. We didn't have anything to do with that. Having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, that's us, are brought nigh, are brought near, or brought close by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, and have made both Jews and Gentiles one, and have broken down the middle wall whatever divisions may have existed or partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself of twain one new man, so making peace. So from the deacons, we got service. From this first declaration by the church towards the Gentiles in Antioch, we have unity. One of the things that we're going to do this year as a church is be more unified. One of the things that we're going to do as a church is become more unified. Amen? We're going to be more unified because we have things to do as a church. There is no accident. Brother, drawing a blank, you're going to have some timers. Brother Frazier talked about the will of God. There is a reason why we are all sitting here this morning. There is a reason why we are all members of Good Tidings. There is a reason why Good Tidings is located at 345 Malcolm X Boulevard. And we need to get to work this year, pandemic notwithstanding. First missionary, first deacon, first missionary. Let's go back to Acts chapter 11. So we're talking about when they heard that Gentiles were being converted. Let's start at verse 22. Then the tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas, and we read this, but we'll read it again, to Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in those days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. The first relief work of the church. Antioch was an interesting place. They had a lot of things going on. The first missionary was sent to Antioch. The first missionary team came out of Antioch. There are three jumping points. There are three missions that started with Antioch. I don't have the time to go into them, but if you look at Acts 13 and 1 and Acts 14 and 26, and Acts 18 and 22, we see that Antioch has become a jumping point from where the gospel was spread. So Antioch has a lot of firsts. So From this first, I take mission. We as a church should be about missionary work, missionary support, and missions. We should look for them here. Thank you, big sisters. You've displayed a tremendous desire to do missions in this neighborhood in the last 4 or 5 months. And I think it's made an effect. We should support them. We, and I have said this for 25 years, Good Tidings is blessed financially. We are blessed financially. We're one of those churches, and the elders and the trustees will tell us, we get letters regularly from other assemblies asking for financial assistance. Praise the Lord. And we do our best to answer those requests. We are in the financial center of the world. We have access to funds that many, many churches throughout the world do not have. We should be using much of those resources to support missionaries, support missions, support other churches. Our missionary conference in November, Lord willing, we may have it this November, should be packed as we look for opportunities of missions. So now we come back. We come back to the original point that the Christians were first called Christians in Antioch. Now, Christian simply means Christ-like. It means being like Christ. So, obviously, those brethren in Antioch were conducting themselves in such a manner and identifying themselves to other people in such a manner that they reminded those people of Christ. So they started calling them Christians. Now, we cannot be first Christians. We cannot be the ones called Christians first, because the people, the saints at Antioch, have already claimed that. But I want to be first, but not first. And let me explain that. I can't be the first Christian, first person. We can't be the first assembly called Christians. Again, as I said, Antioch already took that over 2,000 years ago. But when people describe me, the first thing I want them to say is that I'm a Christian. Amen? When people describe you, when people talk about Good Tidings Gospel Chapel, the first thing they should be saying is that we're Christians. Now, this has been a really trying year, this past year. Amen. And one of the problems with this past year is that there's been a lot of division. And one of the reasons because we have a lot of division is because we have a lot of groups. A lot of people identifying with those groups. Democrats, Republicans, the left, the right, extreme left, the extreme right, conservatives, liberals, black, white, brown. And some of us have gotten caught up in that. In Antioch, there were Jews, Gentiles, Romans, Hellenists, proselytes, the
circumcised, the uncircumcised. At first they were called Christians, the Church of Antioch. There's a lot of groups there. A lot of people not getting along. But they were first called Christians in Antioch. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't join those groups or follow those groups. I would never discourage you from that. But I would encourage you to read God's word, to live God's word in such a way that regardless of what other group you may identify with, that you first be called Christian. Now, because I believe that we really strive to do that at Good Tidings, one of the things that we try to do is preach the gospel. Now, this has been primarily a ministry message, a message to the saints at Good Tidings, but I would be remiss if I did not say to those in this auditorium and to those listening over Zoom or the telephone, that you need to have the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. You need to become a Christian first. Another first. Before you do anything else in 2021, you need to become a Christian, because you don't know what 2021 has to hold for you. Approximately, I think the average is 3,200 people a day are dying from COVID-19 currently. That's about 20,000 folks a week. And they're saying we won't have fully vaccination until sometime in the summer. So if it's 20,000 a week, 80,000 a month, 3 months from now, that's 24,000. We don't know. We have this new virus. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but it says it's not any worse than the other virus, except that it spreads easier. That means it's easier for you or us or I to get it. I'm not too worried about the virus. I wear my mask because I don't want to catch it. I don't want to die from the virus. But if I die from the virus, I go to be with my Lord. I go to heaven. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you die from the virus, do you know where you're going? Friends, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Jesus came to earth to love you and to die for you so that you did not have to suffer the consequences of your sin. God loves you. God doesn't want anyone to go to heaven, hell. He wants everybody to go to heaven, but the choice is yours. As I heard a preacher once say, God doesn't send anyone to hell. We make the decision to go, because we reject God. So if you are if you're here in this building and you want to know more about knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, come talk to me after the service. Talk to Brother Wilson. Talk to Brother Bonet. Talk to Brother Gossett Brown, Brother Allwood. Any of the gentlemen you see sitting up here. And if you're a young lady or a woman, and you're not comfortable talking to a man, talk to any of the sisters who greeted you at the door. They all are quite capable of showing you how you can become a Christian like that, because all it takes is belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're on Zoom, if you're listening on the phone, whoever got you involved in this listening process this morning, speak to them. I'm sure that they're capable of leading you to the Lord Jesus Christ.
And if for some reason you're listening at home alone, pray to God and then call the church. 718-467-5037. You may not get an answer, but leave a message and someone will get back to you. Because there is nothing more important than knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen.